So once again, we welcome you to Easter because it is the celebration of resurrection. I mean, this is resurrection. It's your resurrection. In fact, we've already seen Easter in action today. You saw baptisms happening here a few moments ago. You understand the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection. Death, burial, and resurrection. When you see someone being baptized, you are seeing the gospel in action. We were dead to sin, the Bible said, but then we are buried in baptism, buried with Christ. That really is in the shape of a coffin, if you will. And we're put down, buried in that water. But guess what? We are resurrected. We are raised to new life. And I'm thankful for three people that were baptized on Easter Sunday. We love to baptize people at the church. We would love to baptize you right here so that you can experience the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And one more time today, we really, really want to connect with you. So don't be bashful or nervous about texting hello to 404-777-4701. We're excited about meeting you. You know, we have been talking recently about the goodness of the Lord, how good God is. I mean, like, he's really, really good. I know times aren't that good, and there's some, you know, just some stress in the air. I know we're still feeling the pangs of a pandemic, and there's still the residue of anxiety in the world, and fear has affected our money, and your kids, like mine, are probably struggling to catch up in school and in learning, and it seems like their tests are harder than they were 2 years ago. I mean, it's stressful times that we're living in, but God is really, really good. He's really good. You say, but wait a minute, Pastor, how could he be good? How could you say he's good when you describe the way things are going in the world today? I guess it's because I'm not waiting on my situation to inform me that he's great and greatly to be praised. I have untied his goodness from my circumstances. I have unhitched his goodness from my situations. That doesn't mean that there are not problems. Yes, there are problems, but God is good. That doesn't mean there aren't situations and challenges and difficulties and long days and a sleepless night here and there. But after considering all of that, I can still lift my hands and say, Lord, thank you for being so good in my life. And I want you to know that today, because that revelation can change your Easter. In fact, that revelation can change the rest of your life. And that's some of the things that we're talking about today. I'm reading from Colossians chapter 2. If you want to join me there or just meet me on the screen today and read along right there. Colossians 2, verses 13, 14, and 15 says, you were dead because of your sins, and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. So what Paul is talking about is literally the act of circumcision. The Jews were very familiar with the cutting away of flesh, and so he used that real life truth in their lives to say that's exactly what Christ did for you. He cut away your sinful nature. And what happened then? God made you alive with Christ. How did he do that? He forgave all our sins. I'm wondering this Easter Sunday morning if all still means all. He forgave all of our sins. That means it doesn't matter what you're carrying today. It doesn't matter what you're wrestling with. It doesn't matter what you are addicted to. It doesn't matter what the struggle has been. It doesn't matter what has pained you, what has depressed you, what has debilitated you, what has dysfunctioned you. He forgave all our sins. Look at verse 14. The Bible said that he canceled the record of the charges against us. Anybody got a record in here? Amen. Some of you are not quite as forthcoming. He canceled the record. It's all right if you got a record. I'm glad you're in church today. I even got a record. I got arrested one time. It's another story for another Sunday, but it happened. What about the record? What about the record that we keep against other people? What about the things that we claim to have forgiven, but I'm not going to forget? What about the people that we won't have anything to do with because of something that happened long ago, because of something that, you know, hurt us or wounded us, or something that, discouraged us or was difficult in our life? We keep a record of those things. Let me tell you what the Bible said. The Bible said that he canceled the record of the charges against us. And here's how he did it. He took all of that away by nailing it to the cross. And in this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. The cross. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a You got time for the first verse. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. It was the emblem of suffering and shame, but I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. If you know it, sing it. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. I will exchange it someday for a crown. I can't get over the cross. Old, rugged, and still relevant to my life. I want you to see the scene today. Jesus died. Brutal, unbelievably horrific death. There is blood, there is mess, there is debris, it's Calvary. And Joseph has gone to Pilate, and the Bible said that he begged the body of the Lord. Please, Pilate, let us take Jesus and let us bury him properly. So we have the death and we have the burial. That's 2 out of 3 to satisfy the gospel so far. So Jesus is down the way in the tomb, and the cross is still here on Golgotha. And I guess I've never wondered this before. I guess I've never thought about this before. Who came to clean up Calvary? I mean, the disciples have gone, and Mary has gone, and Jesus is gone, but the cross remains. Who came to clean up Calvary? I know it's the place of the skull, and many, many have been crucified there, and more will come. But someone has to clean this place up. Beams have to be taken down. There's tools to collect. Clothes had been ripped from his body. There's blood and there is flesh. It's not a pretty sight. And I guess you drew the short straw. I guess it's your job to clean up the cross. You've probably had a long day. I don't know how many of you guys crucified today. I know of 3, but I mean, this is Executioner's Alley. This is the place of the skull. This this is Golgotha, and this is where it happens. This is where people are crucified. But I'm wondering, Roman soldier, do you realize that the man you crucified today was not just any man? I'm wondering if you even understand that while you called this man a thief, he was not a thief. While you called him a false prophet, this man was nothing false at all. This is Jesus they called the Christ. Can I tell you who Jesus is today? In fact, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:8 that none of the rulers of this age understood it. For if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. I have a feeling that if this soldier doing his job knew who Jesus was, he wouldn't have taken part. He wouldn't have been a part of the process. What is it that they do not know about Jesus? First of all, he is healer, and he is help, and he is hope. I know the sign you discarded a moment ago, it called him King of Kings. What's that all about? He is the King of Kings. He is the great I Am. He is the first and the last, and he that is to come. He is Jesus. He was, he is, and he forever will be. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. And I know you got work to do, soldier. I know you've got business to tend to, but you need to know who Jesus is. In fact, everyone in this room on Easter Sunday needs to know who Jesus is. Everyone watching online needs to know who Jesus is, because contrary to popular opinion, Jesus is not a controversy. Jesus is not an argument. Jesus is not a restriction. Jesus is not a dead end. Jesus is not a miserable life. Jesus is my deliverer. Jesus is my way maker. Man, he picked me up when I was in a low place. He steadied my feet when I was stumbling. Here's what you need to know, soldier. When you whipped his back, you healed me. When you crowned him with thorns, you made me a victor. When you nailed his hands and his feet, you delivered me. When you pierced his side and blood and water ran, you saved me. That's who Jesus is. Is anyone thankful for the cross? I was working on the grounds yesterday, and they had pulled some rose bushes, some dead ones, some that were just cluttering flower beds, and they were pulled and cut away, and some of the stalks, some of the stems were an inch or so in diameter. They had been growing there for years, but as I picked them up, even though I had gloves on, my hands still have pricks and sticks all over them, because just trying to pick up those rose bushes, I was getting stuck everywhere. And while I was picking them up and trying to discard and get rid of them, I couldn't help but think about that crown of thorns that they put on his head. Those sticks were so irritating. Those pricks were so painful, and yet they drove that into the brow of Jesus, because he really was a king. That's what Colossians teaches us, that we were dead. We were dead in our sins, but Christ made us alive. He canceled all of the charges by nailing them to the cross. So I want you to know that it wasn't just a hand that you nailed to the cross. It wasn't just a foot that you nailed to the cross, because I have some things that I want to nail to the cross. I got some things that I want to put up there with the Lord. I've got some needs. I have some circumstances. I have some challenges this Easter. I have some things going on in my world that I want to nail to the cross. What about you today? Oh, look, I see somebody coming. I see Diane coming. I know her. I'm familiar with her story. I know what she's been through. I know what she survived an abusive marriage, survived a situation that she didn't think she would survive. She didn't think she would be able to get out of. But look, she's bringing all of that to the cross. Hey, buddy, I know you've had a long day, but I need you to go ahead and nail that to the cross too. I know you nailed Jesus, but go ahead and nail her past, and nail the crisis, and nail the pain, and nail the uncertainty, and nail the lack of, nail that to the cross just the same. Because when you nail Jesus, You nailed my circumstance. When you nailed Jesus, you nailed my miracle to the cross. You nailed it to the cross. Oh yeah, the cross is messy. The cross is hard, it's difficult. But guess what? It's nailed to the cross. It's nailed to the cross. Anybody else have something that you want to nail to the cross? Oh, there's my buddy. Here's my buddy, Mary. Barry, what you carrying, Barry? What you carrying? Is that a sign that says addiction? Is that somebody who's struggled? Is that somebody who's had some pain and some difficulty and some crisis? Come here, Rhonda. You're the spice. You're the, the spice and the spouse. Hey, praise God. I think I just prophesied a little bit. You're the spouse of someone who's walked in addiction, and it's as much pain for you as it is for him. He doesn't want to be addicted. You don't want to be addicted. But guess what? Today is the day that I get to nail all of that to the cross. Hey, soldier, hey, go ahead and put that on the cross, because it's not just Barry, it's not just Rhonda. There's other people in this room that have felt the pain of addiction, that have been arrested by addiction. But guess what? Today, he said, I'm nailing it to the cross. Nailing it to the cross. I'm nailing it because he nailed all of it. He nailed all of it to the cross. He nailed all of it to the cross. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Oh, I could ask Barry what it was he was addicted to, but it's not important what it was. Because if he names his thing, you'll think, well, I got something else. And there's no way I'm going to get out from under the bondage that I'm under. I'm telling you, yours is nailed to the cross as well. Oh, wow. Oh, my heart. My heart, because I remember this day. Here come Thomas and Joy Russell. Here come the Russells, because their baby girl, just 19 years of age, it was a disease we didn't even know she had. It was a crisis we didn't even know she was wrestling with in her body. They were just on vacation in Florida. They were just having a great time as a family when she took ill, and we go to the hospital, and she never comes home. 19 years of age, they bury their baby girl, and I can't even imagine, because I know there are still hard days. I know there are still long nights. Holidays are particularly tough as they gather around the family table. But can I tell you, Thomas, can I tell you, Joy, that he nailed your grief to the cross. He made a way of escape. He provided healing. He helped us. He loves us. Somebody give God praise, because you know there's other people in this room. There's other people in this room that have dealt with grief. But would you look? Grief is on the cross today, because he nailed it. He nailed it to the cross. And today I nail my crisis. I nail my pain to the cross. Allison, what are you doing on your feet? Well, foot. I know you just had surgery. What's your sign say? 12 years sober? 12 years? Look what God can do. Look how amazing God is. And let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, the half has not been told, because she's a miracle from the top of her head to the sole of her feet. That's how great God is. Come on, soldier, I got more work for you to do, because someone else is nailing it to the cross on Easter Sunday. Pastor Darrell, why are you so passionate about this? Because I know what you're carrying. I know what you're wrestling with. I know what you're dealing with. And yet here, Jesus is providing a way of escape. providing a miracle in your life, providing breakthrough. What in the world, Val? Look at you. I know your story. I can't tell your story. They'd make a movie about your story, Val. If they knew, what does this say? It's just too much. Of course it's just too much. It's too much for any one person to handle. It's too much for any one person to carry. But look from one side to the other and know that every one of these people are in your corner. They don't know your story. They don't know what you're facing. But everybody is on your side. You know what we're going to do? We're going to nail it to the cross, because that's where it belongs. That's the miracle that Jesus does in our life. I hold it right there. I want her to see it up on the cross. He's nailing it. He's nailing it. He's nailing it. It's just too much. It's just too much. But he's nailing it to the cross. What about you? Oh, look at these beautiful Lloyds. Randy. Taylor. Our girl is perfect. What are you talking about? Our baby girl is 6 years old now, and she's on the autism spectrum, and she's nonverbal. And oh, life can be hard sometimes. Life can be difficult sometimes. I pastor them close, and I understand some of what they deal with just in counseling and friendship and conversation. And I know sometimes they wonder why us. We're just this perfect little family. We're just the American dream of blonde hair and blue eyes. And yet here we are with stress in our lives every day. But you know what this sign says? Our girl is perfect. Our situation is perfect. Go ahead, soldier. You got to nail that to the cross just the same. You know why? Because even though your circumstance may not look perfect, Jesus does all things well. He doesn't make a mistake. He hasn't made a mistake in your life. It is on the cross. He nailed it to the cross. Nailed it. In fact, Colossians 2 and 15 said that in this way, by nailing it to the cross, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. You know what else it said? It said that he shamed them publicly. See, you wrestle in private. You struggle in private. But God said, when I come through for you, it's going to be in public. I did the public thing on the cross. They nailed me to the cross. And in this way, he shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. It's what you need to know this Easter Sunday. Your enemy has been shamed because you have survived. I'm going to tell you something. The enemy absolutely hates Easter Sunday. The enemy hates Resurrection Sunday. You know why? Because you're sitting next to a miracle. All around you are miracles. Look around and see people who have nailed things to the cross. It doesn't matter what the devil has told you. It doesn't matter what the enemy has said. You thought you would never be out of it. You thought you would never get out from under it. You thought you would never get away from it. But listen, devil, we got hammer and we've got nails and we got a soldier ready to work. Our mess is getting nailed to the cross. But you know what Mark 15 says? It said that when that soldier who stood there in front of Jesus saw how he died, he said, surely this was the Son of God. What are you looking at, soldier? You've been nailing people's crisis and people's circumstance to the cross. You got something you want to nail to the cross? You got something you've struggled with? You've got something that you've needed to overcome? You have a miracle that you need him to do in your life? He's no respecter of persons. He'll save the one who nailed his hands and feet to the cross. He'll save the one who has spent years cursing his name. Go ahead, man. Nail your miracle to the cross. Go ahead and nail your glory to the cross. Go ahead and nail your truth to the cross. The centurion, when he saw how Jesus died, when he saw the centurion, when he saw how Jesus died, he said, you know what? This is the Son of God, and I need to give my life to him. Hey, buddy, I know you're wearing that uniform. I know you held the hammer. I know you worked the nails, but I want you to know your miracle is on that cross, too. Your glory is on. You know what? You need to go tell your family. You need to go tell your brother. You need to go tell everybody that's dressed like you. Tell everyone in your neighborhood what Jesus did for you just the same. Does anybody know how great he is? Does anybody know how wonderful he is? I titled this message today, More Nails Needed. Because there's a lot of folk in this room today that just need a nail and an opportunity to nail your situation to this cross. To nail your story to the cross. Because the cross is for everyone. Everyone. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter the distance. The Bible said Peter, who became a champion for the church. He was there on the day of Pentecost. The Bible said that Peter followed at a distance. Most likely all of us have been too distant from the cross at one point or another in our lives. They were there around the cross, and that young girl recognized Peter. She said, hey, you're one of them. You're with him, aren't you? Peter was so emphatic that he cussed her out. I'm not with him. No, don't count me. Because all of us have been there. We've denied. But not today. Because this is the beauty of the cross. The beauty of the cross is that he nailed your sin in anticipation that you would ask him to forgive you of your sin. That's the beauty of the cross. We've depicted this today. We've created a scene so that you could see it happening. But Jesus will never go to the cross again, because he paid the price once and for all. And so now all I have to do is ask him if he will forgive me and then accept his grace and mercy in my life. And guess what? I am forgiven. And everything is made new in my life. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed on this Easter Sunday. If you're in this room today and you feel like, you know what, Pastor Darrell, you have told my story. You have preached my life. If you want to be included in this prayer today, we're about to pray for people who are ready to nail their life to the cross. If you're here, doesn't matter if you're guest or member, maybe you prayed this many years ago, but feel like you've lost your way. Maybe you've grown cold in the Lord, but today is my day to say yes to Jesus. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I just want you to lift your hand if I'm praying for you today. Yeah, I see you. I see you. Yes, 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 yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Dozens of hands in this room. People. What do I pray, Pastor Darrell? What do I pray? What do I say? I'll help you with that. Pray this with me. Say, Jesus, thank you for Easter. Thank you for going to the cross. Thank you for nailing my sin with you. Today I receive your gift. Today I receive your promise. Forgive me. Cleanse me. Wash me. Change me. Fill me full of your Spirit. May my life never be the same again. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we give a hand to the Lord for how great He is? Woo! I know we bow heads and we close eyes because I want that to be a non-intimidating moment. I want that to be a moment of no shame for anyone, and people want to raise their hand and it's personal. It's a personal moment. When you get baptized, that's a public moment, and everyone will see and cheer and be excited for what God has done in your life. But if you just prayed that prayer with me today, if you just made that decision, listen, we want to resource you. We want to help you. I want you to text FOLLOW, FOLLOW. It's on the screen. Text FOLLOW to that number, 404-777-4701. We'll send you a link back where you can put this resource, this book, right there on your phone. It's just a few pages. You can read it and know what next steps look like. Just kind of know what it is that God is doing in your life. You can text FOLLOW to that number online. Text that FOLLOW to 404-777-4701. If you're in the room, it's on either side of this auditorium. Yes, banners, that book is right there. Pick it up. Let us help you. Most importantly, get to church. Get into the house of God. Get into the presence of the Lord. And if you're in this room today and writing something, doing something, taking action is meaningful to you, right there on this corner of the stage and on that corner of the stage, there's paper there, there's markers there. Write it down. What do you want nailed to the cross? What do you need nailed? It may be private. You don't have to put your name there. No phone number. Just write it down, fold it over, leave it on this altar, and know that whatever it is you're facing, whatever it is you're dealing with, it's been nailed to the cross. Amen. Why don't you stand with me across the room? Jesus, come alive. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to worship for just a moment. If you want to come and write something and leave it on this altar today, if you want to worship with us for just a moment today and just let God breathe new life into you, I'm telling you, He's powerful and He's big and He's awesome in this house today. Come alive in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, this is the house. Bring me pins from the back tables. Come
on. We bring everything to the feet of Jesus.
Oh.